Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. Saturday evening, October 15th, I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio, Memphis, Tennessee. Downtown Memphis, Tennessee. God help me. Going out to the AM affiliate stations, AM and FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course, streaming online to a worldwide audience, as we established during the second hour, from Australia to South Africa, across Europe, and indeed from coast to coast here in the U.S. of A. We're streaming live online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Time has really, really, really gone by tonight. Yes, yes, I know. I say it every week. Time goes by far too fast during the political cesspool, but tonight it has gone by even more quickly than normal. 2 hours already in the bag and still so much ground to cover in this, our third and final hour. Great to have you with us as we attempt to make sense of it all here on the South's foremost populist radio program. Earlier in the show tonight, Keith Alexander noted that I had indeed obtained, through my vast connections and general prowess, an advanced copy of Pat Buchanan's newest blockbuster, Suicide of a Superpower: Will America Survive to 2025? Had an advanced copy of that book, which goes on sale. Well, it's on sale now. You can pre-order it, and I encourage you to do so by going to Buchanan.org. Buchanan.org. Order your copy of the book. Pat has never been more frank, never been more candid on issues of race and politics before, as he is in this new book. It officially goes on sale on Tuesday. You can advance order your copy tonight at Buchanan.org, and it will ship to you on Tuesday. And as I was noting, I had my copy here in the studio, but it's here no more. Why is it here no more? Because Keith very stealthily took it from the studio. Keith took it home. And I'll have to give him a call about that after the show and let him know to be sure to return that, like any good library book. He'll have to return that to me. That's how in demand it is. The cesspool hosts are now fighting over it. And speaking of Pat Buchanan, he recently gave an interview in which he talks about third parties, Ron Paul, and some of the other political primary candidates in the 2012 presidential campaign. And listening, and during the interview, Pat talks about his own 2000 campaign for president of the United States, and it brought back watching it a lot of fond memories, because it was during 2000 that it all began for me. 1999 and 2000, I got my start working for Pat Buchanan, and from there the broken trail of political activism led to my own candidacy for state representative in 2002. I lost, thankfully, and I say thankfully because if I'd won, I'd be sitting in the Tennessee state legislature right now instead of talking to you fine people tonight on the Political Cesspool radio program. It started with Pat Buchanan. It went to my own campaign in 2002, and in defeat, it led to my birth as a radio host in 2004. And ever since that day, I've been here with you, serving you and you alone on the political cesspool for 7 long years. But I do encourage you to check out Pat Buchanan's interview. It's actually a video interview, so it's not just audio. You'll get to watch it. Watch Pat talk about his last presidential campaign. Watch him talk about third parties. Watch him talk about Ron Paul and much more at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's there for you tonight. And we encourage you to check it out. So much more, though, still to talk about. What else is going on in the world of politics tonight that we could bring to your attention? I'm trying to read all the emails that are coming in. It's a fool's errand. Obama Obama has appointed a pop singer to his education advisory board, and her name is Shakira. Now, because I married a young girl of 6 years my junior, I know a little bit about pop culture. Shakira is her name, and that's her full name, apparently, kind of like Madonna. They only have one name, you know. They don't have a last name. But Shakira has been appointed by President Obama to serve on the Education Advisory Board. And here's the story. It reads that President Barack Obama appointed Shakira to his Education Advisory Board in the hopes of assisting children throughout Latin America. Others joining Shakira include community activist Adrian Pizzorra and Arizona School District Superintendent Kent Scribner. I'm grateful that these impressive individuals have chosen to devote their talents to serve the country of the United States at a moment of high importance for our nation, Barack Obama said. I look forward to working with them in the future months and years ahead. Shakira, who now has been appointed by the president, is a Colombian singer, Colombian from Colombia, the third world. She's a pop singer. That's what she is. If you've never heard of Shakira, I don't blame you. But I do have a video for you that shows her in action at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But as the story mentioned, she is just a pop singer. Just think of Britney Spears, but from Colombia. And there you have Shakira. What qualifications does she have in order to hold such a position? None. And of course, that's the point. But again, folks, to learn more about Shakira, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. You'll find the article not too far down the blog roll. Have a video selected for you entitled Hips Don't Lie. Hips Don't Lie. Starring Shakira. We also have a good video for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Ramsey Paul is somebody that I like. I've never talked to him, never exchanged correspondence with him, never had him on the show. But he does his own thing out there. I guess apparently sort of a lone wolf, Ramsey Paul. He's put a good video up, a lot of good videos he has. But we hijacked one of his most recent videos entitled, I Am the 1%. And if you go and you watch our video on Shakira and that doesn't do it for you and you want something a little more wholesome, a little more reinforcing for you, just go up the blog roll to the entry entitled I Am the 1%. You'll see Ramsey Paul, a guy that I'm certainly a fan of. And you'll see his commentary about being the 1%, the elite 1%, as you all are undoubtedly if you're tuned into the show tonight. Check it out exclusively at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and I'll be back with you after this commercial break to share more with you.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Getting to wrap things up here. We only have 40 minutes left. I guess that's still a lot of time when you think about it. But in contrast to a 3-hour total production, it's nearing the beginning of the end, at least. I was talking about Pat Buchanan before and his third and final run for the presidency in the year 2000. Ron Paul, you know, he's running for president this time, and we've talked about him before. His ads run on this network. Folks, it's really the guy you need to vote for. I like some of the things, very much so, that Gary Johnson, former New Mexico governor, is doing and has done. But, you know, they're not even letting him into the debates. Ron Paul's the guy who has the best chance of winning that we can live with. And I don't think we're settling too much when we vote for Ron Paul. There is much about him that we can get enthusiastic about. It's not the lesser of two evils whatsoever. 18 minutes and 47 seconds. That's how much time that Ron Paul has been given total during the last three Republican debates combined. 18 minutes and 47 seconds. That's how much time Ron Paul has been giving, to explain his message to the voters. They continue to do everything they can to silence this man's message. Out of all of the candidates, Ron Paul's speaking time was dead last, even behind the candidates that he's been beating in the polls for months. For months. This is outright censorship. Even after Ron Paul's incredible finish at the Iowa straw poll. Folks, this is the guy you need to look into. This is a guy that you need to support. If he's being suppressed by the establishment, he is one of us. And I encourage you to learn more about Ron Paul. Of course, I doubt there's anything about Ron Paul that you don't already know. Listeners of my program are very astute indeed. But I want to give you my official endorsement for Ron Paul tonight. I know it's still just October. It's a long time until the primaries roll around. But it's not that long. He's the guy we're going to need. I don't think there's anybody that's going to jump in the race now that's going to trump Ron Paul. At least not anybody that's going to jump in that is going to be given an opportunity to succeed. I said it before, you know, I like a lot about Gary Johnson, but they're not giving him an opportunity to succeed. And so we've got to go with the person that has the best chance at being successful. And that's, of course, Ron Paul. You know, interesting thing here. I'm going to divert from my agenda this evening and share with you a personal story. And I'm not going to name any names because I don't do that. I don't kiss and tell. I don't tell you I received an email from an important person and then out them over the air just to make a point. But I received an email a couple of days ago from a former governor. And he asked to be on this show. And I declined the opportunity to host him. It would have been in my best interest as a radio host to have him on because he was a big name. And because by having him on the show, it would have guaranteed publicity for this show. But I declined the offer and opportunity nonetheless because what he stands for isn't what we're about. And there was no real benefit for you, my listening audience, in having him on. He was a very big name in American politics. And I was very polite, as I always am, very cordial in the decline, but it just didn't make sense for my show. And that's, you know, the kind of principle that I've had guiding me for far too long. I could have been much more successful in business, in the real world, in politics, if I had sold out 10 years ago when I was first getting involved. In fact, not long after this show began in 2004, we were becoming a name, making a name for ourselves in the local Memphis community. This was, of course, before it became syndicated nationally, before any of the CNN appearances and any of the other national and international media exposure that this show has been subjected to. Back in 2004, a person from a radio network said, "Listen, we think you've got talent. We think you've got style. We think you've got substance. And if you just quit talking about race, we'll give you a show. We'll pay you to do the show. But you got to knock this off because we think we can mold you into a premier talk radio voice. And I don't know if it was out of my stubborn nature, my ignorance, or my obscene loyalty to the cause that motivates me, but I turned them flat down. I said, you know, I appreciate the opportunity, but if you're not going to let me talk about what I want to talk about, that's not what I want to do. Getting paid to do radio, you know, that's my life's dream. You know, we ask for donations because we need donations to pay our bills, to cover the cost of production, to cover the overhead associated with bringing this show to a global audience. That's why we ask for donations. I'm not living off the donations that we receive at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But I had an opportunity to do just that, and I turned it down, just like I turned down a governor who asked to be on this show because he knows we have a big audience. But I knew if we had him on, he'd talk about things that just didn't make sense for our platform. He would talk about things that I'm not here to talk about. Things that may be important, but he's not with us on the most important things. And so I said, no thanks. Folks, that's what you get when you tune in with the Political Cesspool. And I bring all that up because we've been talking a little bit about presidential politics. And oh, by the way, did I mention that this guy, this governor that asked for an interview, is running for president? I'm not going to tell you who he is. I'll just tell you that it happened and that I said no. But while we're on the subject of presidential campaigns, you know, we've been talking about Buchanan's past campaigns. We've been talking about Buchanan's new book. We've been talking about Ron Paul. I wanted to share that story with you. And now moving on, we'll talk about, in the remainder of the show tonight, uneven teams. You know, the NBA is still locked out. The NBA season was supposed to start in about a week, 2 weeks. They're not going to start in 2 weeks. They might not start at all this year. We're going to be talking about that after the next commercial break. We'll also be talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement. A lot of stuff going on there. We have been talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement since the very beginning of the show. And we haven't quite got there yet. That's kind of the way it is when you're unscripted and unrehearsed here in the Political Cesspool. It's all very fluid. We are going to talk about Occupy Wall Street at some point tonight, and I guess we'll have to do that in the next 30 minutes, but that's coming up. The NBA lockout, Occupy Wall Street, coming up before the show concludes, so stay tuned. We'll get back to you right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place.
If it's the last thing we ever do. All right, everybody, that's promised. Let's talk about the NBA lockout for a moment, shall we? In case you missed it, the NBA lockout is still ongoing, and the league announced earlier this week that it's beginning to cancel regular season games. David Stern, the NBA commissioner, announced Monday night the cancellation of the first 2 weeks of the regular season after more than 13 hours of bargaining over 2 days with the National Basketball Players Association left the two sides, quote, very, very far apart on virtually all issues, end quote. I'm sorry to report, particularly for the thousands of people who depend on our industry for their livelihood, that the first 2 weeks of the season have been canceled, Stern said. Asked if there was no chance of having a season this year, Stern said, yes, I think that's right. Every day that goes by, we need to look at further reductions in what's left of the season, end quote. All right, the NBA, the owners of the 30 NBA teams have locked out its players as they attempt to reach a favorable collective bargaining agreement. The last one expired at the end of last season. The NBA players are locked out until further notice, until the two sides can find a deal that they can agree upon. If you are, there are over 400 players in the NBA. If you are number 400, meaning that you don't even get to dress for a game, you're basically on the practice squad, you're making $300,000 a year. If your foot never touches the court during a regular season game, you get paid $300,000 a year to practice. The average NBA salary, is between $5 and $7 million. Average $5 million. And that's not enough for these people. And who are these people? You were talking about, out of 400 people, the NBA, 400 players, the NBA got an A+. It was rated by some organization that apparently distributes grades for this sort of thing. The NBA got an A+ in diversity. What does that mean? Yeah, well, apparently it doesn't mean that it's very diverse, because over 90% of the 400 NBA players are black. Where's the diversity in that? And they're not just black. They're not, you know, black people that are going out here and making a living and trying to do things right by themselves and their families. They are the low rung of the totem pole. They are the thuggish types that couldn't get a job flipping burgers if they weren't blessed with the skills to play a kid's game. And I find it comical that the NBA Players Union, littered with petty thugs who have IQs somewhere hovering around the 80s, could think that they might be able to play ball with the league's top brass, that includes Commissioner David Stern and Vice Commissioner Adam Silver. And, you know, these guys, as I said, would be lucky to land jobs flipping burgers if it weren't for basketball. Have no business sitting at the table with guys named Stern and Silver, no less, when it comes to collective bargaining. But to be completely honest, I'm completely on the league's side in this labor dispute. And say what you will, David Stern is a highly intelligent man, as most Jewish businessmen are. And that's certainly unlike most of the players who are in New York to deal with him. You look at the NBA Players Association's president, Derek Fisher of the LA Lakers. You look at their union leader, Billy Hunter, and some of these other all-star NBA black players who have gone in to deal with the league's, you know, Jewish top brass. And one side is just woefully overmatched. I mean, you take NBA All-Star Carmelo Anthony, for instance. Well, he was one of the players there to represent the union in these negotiations. And after negotiations broke off that day, he issued a statement to the press that is, all right, it's littered with misspelled words, poor grammar, and expletives. Expletives. This is what, you know, and you read David Stern's remarks to the press and their press releases, and it's all well written and astute. And then you got this guy straight out of high school into the NBA, 80 IQ, can't spell, can't write, cusses when he's releasing statements to the press. You see what I mean? I mean, in the end, knuckleheads like Carmelo Anthony will take whatever deal Stern and the owners allow them to have. What leverage do they have? They'd never be able to succeed in the real world, unlike the owners. People like Paul Allen, who owns the Portland Trailblazers. Well, what did this guy do before he bought a basketball team as a hobby? Well, all he did was co-found Microsoft with Bill Gates. That's all he ever did. All of the NBA owners are billionaires in the real world. They made real money doing things that these players would never be able to do. They own these teams as a hobby. And let me tell you something. They're not going to fold. David Stern isn't going to fold. Adam Silver isn't going to fold. These players couldn't eat if it wasn't for basketball. They'll take whatever deal they get them. And I hope they cancel the whole season. I hope they're arrogant enough to cancel the whole season, because these players who make $100 million, like in the case of Antoine Walker, made $100 million over the course of a 10-year playing career. And a year after his career was over, in spite of making $100 million, he was bankrupt beyond the value of all of his assets. He couldn't even feed himself despite making $100 million. This is what the players are. The owners aren't going to go hungry. They made real money doing real things. They own basketball teams for fun. I hope the players are arrogant enough to force the cancellation of the entire season. Nothing would please me more. But we're covering it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Good article on there on black poverty, by the way. It sort of coincides with what we've been talking about here the last few minutes. Good article by Joseph K., a columnist for American Renaissance. It reinforces some of the points I made in my Columbus Day article, which is also posted tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org, which I also read for you on this program earlier in the second hour. But a good article nonetheless, Black Poverty by Joseph K. Don't think we'll have the time. Maybe we will, but don't think we will have the time to get into it tonight. But I do encourage you to check it out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. There, another article you'll find, Masters of the Universe by Alex Kurtajic. Alex Kurtajic, Masters of the Universe. It was, it's the transcript of an incredible speech that was delivered by Alex Kurtajic at the conference held by the National Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. on September 10th of this year. I was there, had the opportunity to address not only the NPI conference, but also the press conference at the National Press Club, which preceded the formal conference there on September 9th in Washington, D.C., an event that I won't soon forget. But the most impressive speech of that entire weekend was arguably Alex Kurtajic's speech. It has been transcribed, and it is for your reading pleasure tonight. It's entitled Masters of the Universe. Pretty catchy title. Masters of the Universe. Check it out tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. All that we've been talking about tonight and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Also there, unfortunately, Presbyterian Church, a man, a homosexual, who left the Presbyterian ministry 20 years ago after telling his congregation that he was a sodomite, was now, after 20 more years of political correctness, was welcomed back into the church leadership as its first openly gay ordained minister. Am I missing something here? What the Bible says about sodomy is clear. What am I missing? Read that article at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to talk more as we wrap the show up right after these words.
If I didn't tell her I
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Final segment is now upon us this evening. Another radio broadcast that's gone by far too quickly for yours truly, and hopefully for you too. Thank you to all for tuning in this evening. I was talking to you before the last commercial break. Is this Christianity? Am I missing something here? Talking about an openly homosexual man who was not only welcomed into a church, but ordained as its first openly homosexual minister. Not only was he allowed to be a minister, but when he was presented to the crowd, the audience members of his church gave him a thunderous standing ovation and began roaring with cheers. What is going on here? Well, you have answered that question better than I could answer it myself. And when I say you, I'm talking about the people, the incredibly intelligent men and women that make up the political cesspool radio program's listening audience. This is an article that we have featured on our blog this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And of course, at the end of each blog entry, there is a place for you to write in your own commentary on the matter, on the subject at hand, and you have done it, and you continue to do it all too well. Great conversations, great points have been made about this issue at the website. Folks, if you want to really be educated, you need to go and read what your peers, your fellow TPC listeners are saying about not just this, but every subject there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But folks, you've answered this question for me already, but and I already knew the answer, because what the Bible says about sodomy is clear. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, because it's an abomination. If a man lie with mankind as he lieth with womankind, both of them have committed an abomination. Their blood shall be upon them. This is just two of many examples that the scriptures give us, and how the Presbyterian Church can reconcile their decision with these scriptures is beyond my level of comprehension. I guess it's better to be right with political correctness than be right with God. We are surely living in the age of the apostate church. Again, folks, to read not just my commentary, but yours as well, I encourage you to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, where we're also talking about the Occupy Wall Street movement. I said nearly 3 hours ago that I've seen bits and pieces of this story on the news, but until a few days ago, hadn't really taken the time to form my own opinion about what exactly is going on here. Keith Alexander did touch on the subject for a few minutes at the top of the program tonight. One of my staff members, Peter Scoop Stanton, who lives in New York, was born and raised in New York, I should say, sent me a few articles, related stories, and I couldn't help but share them with you. We put three of them on the website for you. And wouldn't you know it, Peter Scoop Stanton has called in right now to give us his take on the Occupy Wall Street movement. Pete, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me, James?
I can hear you loud and clear, my friend. You actually, of course, as I just mentioned, sent me three great articles that talks about these protesters, you know, doing drugs, defecating on the sidewalk, defecating on police cars, making a general nuisance and stench of themselves. You sent me all those stories, which we put together in a compilation that we posted to the blog, but there, as I mentioned in the comments section itself, you also talked about this in your own words. You, in fact, compared the Occupy Wall Street movement with the Tea Party movement, and what conclusions did you find, Pete?
Well, for Occupy Wall Street, you have a bunch of people with really no purpose sitting in a public park. They're defecating on cop cars. They are again, they have no real purpose. They're duffing in cop cars, being a real nuisance to police. They are littering, are polluting Lower Manhattan, and just being a general pain in the backside. Whereas the Tea Party movement has a simple purpose. Less government, a more constitutional government, and lower taxes. And at a Tea Party rally, nobody's defecating on a cop car or defecating in public. Nobody's using drugs. Nobody's using alcohol. Nobody's groping women in an inappropriate way. Nobody's fighting with the police. And then when the Tea Party rally is over, there's no mounds and mounds of garbage to be picked up, and everybody goes about their business in a peaceful way.
You know, as I was saying earlier, there are some people, and we've seen them, level-headed. You know, they've got a good sense of what's wrong with the economy, what's wrong with the Federal Reserve. There are some of these people undoubtedly here at the Occupy Wall Street protest. We've seen them. But far outnumbering them are the people that Pete Stanton, Scoop Stanton, was just describing. You know, we have a link on our website that transfers you over to a picture obtained by the London Daily Mail, which has a person at this movement defecating on a New York City police car. According to eyewitnesses, this is something that is not an exception to the rule. Complete trash, drug use, fornication, littering. This is what's going on here. It's basically, 40 years after the fact, some sort of nightmare reincarnation of the civil rights movement in terms of their behavior. But, you know, and you know, they say that normally these places where these folks are camped out at are cleaned and inspected every night. But these people refuse to cooperate with sanitation workers, and as a result, some of these parks haven't been cleaned in nearly a month, and it's resulting in unacceptable conditions in terms of sanitation. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, Scoop.
Yes, it is. One thing I forgot to mention is that one thing that the Occupy movement attracts is wanted fugitives. One of the clips I sent you that you posted on thepoliticalcesspool.org was a gentleman. He's wanted in Connecticut for a crime, and he decided to hang out at the Occupy Wall Street until New York's finest found out about this individual by reading the New York Post, and they picked him up and brought him to Manhattan Central booking. The Tea Party does not attract fugitives, but attract law-abiding citizens. When I went to the Tea Party in October 15th of last year, there were literally hundreds of people with hats and clothing that said U.S. Navy veteran, U.S. Army veteran, and I can probably bet dollars and donuts there were probably off-duty law enforcement officers there also. And there's also Washington correspondent Peter Scoop staying with a sign. But one thing about this movement, Occupy Wall Street, these people are acting like bums. They're sleeping in a park, using mind-altering substances, and they're begging for food and money so they can continue the lifestyle in that park in Lower Manhattan.
Yeah, and what lifestyle is that? As again, we read from one of the articles that Scoop sent in, which is featured at our website tonight. You're talking about, again, many, 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 not just one or two that made the news, but this is, again, very common occurrence. Old hippies that were involved in the CRM movement, hippie families toting kids to the Occupy Wall Street protests, including, as we've documented, one 13-year-old boy who carries a stack of quarters in case he has to make a jailhouse phone call. Apparently, the only place they have pay phones anymore is in a jail. And a homemade solution that washes pepper sprays from his eyes. And this kid went on to report to the news in an interview that he was sleeping next to people who were doing drugs and people trying to put out cigarettes on his face. You know, what's going on here, Scoop? He was brought there by his grandfather, who goes by the name Weasel, W-E-E-Z-E-L. This is something that is certainly supported, at least in terms of their ability to attract constant and obsessive news reports. This is something supported by the mainstream movement, right? Mainstream media.
Right, of course. And, you know, with people like Chris Matthews and Rachel Maddow, that's accepted. But if I told my father, like, hey, Dad, I'm bringing your granddaughter down to Occupy Wall Street to hang out with these degenerates, my father would you know, have a couple words with me and probably beat the hell out of me, literally, as he should.
Yeah, I'm reading more about it. And again, I've got to tip my hat, and I did it on the blog. I'm doing it now live on the radio program. Got to tip my hat to Peter Scoop Stanton, our correspondent, who is on the line with us right now, for gathering these stories and sending them in. You know, you're talking about methadone-addled men freeloading on Wall Street, looking for handouts, groping women, as you mentioned before, Scoop, you know, unwanted sexual advances, sexual harassment going on there. And this apparently is widespread. People just going up there because it's a chance to cause trouble. I don't know how many people up there truly have their heads on their shoulders and are protesting it from a good point of view, but apparently there's a lot of them up there who aren't. That's all the time we have for you tonight. On behalf of Peter Scoop Stanton, the rest of my staff and crew here in Memphis and in Utah with the network, I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you it's a show you're not going to want to miss. Good night, everybody, and God bless you.